Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Thank you for joining us for the Dub of the Day podcast. We've got Marquise Chris here.
How you doing?
Thanks. I'm doing awesome. And I want to start with something you might not expect, a behind-the-scenes story. I started noticing Pedialyte everywhere, okay? So I was thinking, oh, I wonder if the Warriors are sick, if there was the flu going through. Some people know, if you've been to college, Pedialyte, it's a great hangover cure. I was like, what is going on here? Pedialyte is everywhere. And it's the big jars. It's like a quart size. Somebody told me that you drink Pedialyte before every single game, and now other guys are hopping on this. How did this all happen?
I don't know. It was like, so I drink them every night before a game just because I just feel like it makes me hydrated the next day. But I asked Eric one time to buy them, so then he put them in the locker room, and then people started taking them, so then he had to buy a bunch more just so I could get one. But we're not allowed to drink them anymore, I guess, because they think there's too much sugar in it. So
is that what happened?
Yeah, they have alternatives for us, but those drinks, they have like 25 grams of sugar, so it's not the best.
I was talking to somebody who said they're better than Gatorade, though, and Gatorade even has those funny dyes in them, like neon dye.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I like them better than Gatorade, and I think they serve a better purpose.
Yeah, I saw one in your hand. I see them in Steph Curry's hand sometimes. Just like, Pedialyte, how did this happen? I thought maybe you were a trendsetter.
Yeah, well, something like that.
And then Eric, I think once he learns that a player has a preference, he really wants to help you guys, have whatever snack bar you want, what protein bar, whatever drinks you want.
So. Absolutely. I think he provides whatever anybody asks, and then if they have to, you know, rein him back in a little bit, he'll cut it back. But I think he does what the player needs.
Man, I'm trying to imagine his Costco runs ordering like, what is that like? Man, so what else do you like to do pregame, if that was part of your routine? What are the other things that you fold in?
I use my Normatec every night before a game.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's like these compression boots that they're up your whole leg. And then I just pretty much sleep, but drink some water. I don't really have much of a routine. I just do those two things and feel good.
Mm-hmm. What have you learned about maintaining your body?
I get massages too, but like those are probably the biggest things. I think is your body is what's going to make you the most money and, you know, make you the most successful. So I think if you take care of it, it'll take care of you.
That's a lesson that some young players in the league don't learn right away. Was there somebody who helped you figure this out, like pulled you aside, like, look, diet, massages, body work?
I think the training staff in Phoenix, you know, they're known for just that type of stuff. And I had vets on my team like Tyson Chandler and Jared Dudley who you know, I've played for a long time, and they've seen the ins and outs and things like that, and they've made a living off of taking care of their bodies and doing what they do well. So I think I just listen to them and try to like pick their ear on certain things that they did that gave them longevity. Mm-hmm.
If you were to indulge in something, are you a dessert kind of guy?
Yeah.
What do you like?
Anything. I got a sweet tooth. I like candy. I like sugar. That's it.
Yeah. I read this old story. It was when you're coming into the league. It was like 5 things to know about rookie Marquise Chris, and it said you like to bake.
Do I? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I like cookies. I mean, I think they took that from me being in college. We used to make pizookies like every night, and I just...
That's, you have to put that on a pan, right?
And we then did it kinda, whatever we had to do to make a cookie. We used to put it on anything and just cook it and then put some ice cream on top of it.
Oh, man. All right, and there was one more thing in that 5 things to know about rookie Marquise Chris. You wear Crocs more than Jays. Do you still identify with that at all?
I don't. I actually lost all my Crocs when I moved, so now I just wear Air Forces and Jordans.
But how many Crocs were we talking?
I had like 5 or 6 pairs of Crocs, and I lost them all. I don't know where they went. So I'm disappointed, but I'll probably end up getting some more.
They had your logo on it, the MC.
Yeah, they did.
Man, it's just reading about old stories and discovering little nuggets about you, I guess. One of them was that you were the 3rd youngest player at 20 years old and 215 days to reach 100 blocks, 100 steals, and 100 threes.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of that? Were people interviewing you about that? Like that? That's the only other two to do it that young, or younger than you, rather, were LeBron and KD.
Yeah. People didn't really talk about it that much. I saw it on like TV. It was like on Twitter and stuff. But they talked about it for like a day or two, and then it kind of just blew away because Book, I think, ended up scoring 70 that time. I mean, it was cool for me. It was just a cool accolade to have. But, you know, just hope for many more to come.
Yeah. Tell me really, like, how much are players aware of their stats?
As far as what, like game to game or like?
Yeah, or, you know, you're on the verge of setting this record, or like Steph Curry is coming up on his like bazillion three made. I mean, do you, to some degree, like, do players not like to know some of the things?
I mean, I haven't been a part of that. I didn't know when that happened. I didn't know. I didn't know that that was something to be accomplished. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it would hard. It'd be hard to say that you don't see it just because people talk about it before it happens. You know, like when LeBron, you know, went to third all time. So it's like people talk about it leading up to that moment. So it's kind of hard to miss it.
Yeah. How about in games? Can you tell what you're shooting if you're 4-for-4 or 5-for-5? Like
no. I mean, unless you check. Mm-hmm. I don't really ever check. I went up to Raymond one time for a rebound. Yeah, but another game, because I know that's one thing I'll look for is my rebounds. And if I'm short, I need them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I told him.
When you look at a box score, your eye goes right to rebounds?
Yeah.
What else do you check as far as, you know, what indicates that you feel like you've had a good game?
I like my assists. I think that's something for me. Obviously, points will come. I look at my assists, I look at my rebounds, I look at my turnovers. Mm-hmm. Just try to keep those down, you know, mm-hmm. especially if they're self-inflicted.
Yeah, okay. Any sort of reading material about you, Marquise, really talks about what kind of an athlete you are, too. Mm-hmm. And even coming up, the way that your mom kind of steered you away from football into basketball. What do you think about the path your career has taken?
I think it's been pretty turbulent. You know, but I think I finally found a comfort zone that I can enjoy myself again. You know, and I think that happens in life. You go through ups and downs. I'm just trying to make the most out of it. Being in this situation that I'm in, it's kind of different. Mm-hmm. You know, being on a quote-unquote two-way. But, you know, I'm enjoying every moment of it, you know, and I'm living in the moment, just having fun. Mm-hmm.
We'll go back to the two-way thing in a moment, but when you are a youngster, when you're determining what kind of sports you like, is it you dabbled in baseball and football and basketball?
I played T-ball. I never got
T-ball?
To play baseball, yeah. and I was like 4 years old.
Okay.
But I played football majority of my life, and then I would play basketball just for fun, like at the park. Mm-hmm. But football was what I wanted to do.
Have you always felt like a natural athlete, or were there things that you've had to work on?
I just think I was always athletic. I never really had to work on running or work on jumping and catching and things like that. It's just something that I did.
What's your family like? What were sports like when you were growing up?
My mom will tell you she's athletic, but I think she's pretty goofy. but I think she's semi-athletic. Mm-hmm. But nobody really played sports in my household but me. My uncle played football. Most of my family plays football, and then I had a couple cousins who played like little junior basketball and stuff like that, but that was about it. My family's really into like music and things like that.
Do you play anything?
Me? No. I used to play the guitar and the violin. Yeah.
Are you a singer at all?
Me? No. To myself, yeah.
All right. So, okay, maybe your mom was an athlete. You have some athletes in your family. What was your neighborhood like? Did you grow up in one neighborhood? Were there kids playing ball?
We moved like about every 2 years since I was can remember till I got to sixth grade, and then we've been in that same neighborhood since then. But I used to just find people to play with. I had a basketball hoop outside my house, so people would just come to my house and play. Mm-hmm. But I was the kid, I would go knock on people's doors and ask if somebody was home, and then if they weren't, I'll just keep riding around, go to each and every person's house until I found somebody to hang out with, and if I couldn't, I'll just go home.
Do you know I used to do the same thing? My dad was in the Army, so I've moved around my whole life, too. And it's like I would knock on doors and be like, do you have any kids I can play with? And we had great neighborhoods. We played Capture the Flag. Mm-hmm. Like, there were kids from maybe age 6 up to high school. And one of the kids was the ringleader of this, and he was great. He would organize us. He would break us into fair teams. And it was awesome. Like, the whole neighborhood would barbecue, play mm-hmm. capture a flag, do whatever. And just the value of that is so important.
Yeah, for
do
sure.
Do you have friends like that from growing up that you're still close with?
I have friends from, like, elementary school that I went to, ended up going to high school with, yeah. Mm-hmm. But one of my best friends is from sixth grade. And his dad was in the military, so he moved randomly to our school. And I just was walking home one day, and he was sitting at the park, and I just waited with him while his dad was coming, because he was in my class. Mm-hmm. And we've just been friends since then. He ended up living with me for 2 years in Phoenix. But that's really one of my only friends from childhood that I actually still communicate with.
Yeah. Pleasant Grove in Sacramento, was that your high school?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you remember about your high school years and kind of coming into your own as a basketball player?
I think I was kind of just thrown into, like, a whirlwind of people wanting to be my friend.
There was, like, a suspicion there a little bit?
I mean, I was nice to everybody. I would talk to most popular kid at school. I'd talk to kid that nobody talked to. I just was friendly. I wouldn't say was. I think I still am pretty friendly.
I think you are too, yeah.
but I enjoyed it. My freshman year, I kind of was just like the goofy kid on the team. I didn't really play that much. And then things started happening to where they had to cut people, and I ended up playing a lot and then got moved up to varsity. And in my sophomore year, kind of everything started happening more and more, like people talking to me, people, you know, being more involved because we were good. Mm-hmm. Then my junior year, like, everybody from my sophomore team left, they graduated, so I was one of the only people who came back to the team, and so I was that main go-to guy on our team. And then my senior year pretty much was just when kind of everything started happening.
Yeah, what was your recruitment like?
It was fast. I mean, people ask, like, what my top three schools were, and I couldn't tell you. I committed when I realized where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't tell any. I told my best friend in high school, and he didn't even believe me when I told him. I was like, I'm going to commit tonight. And then he was like, no, you're not. So I went home. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell anybody. I just called my college coach and told him I was going to go to school.
That was the University of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
What did you like about Seattle?
Everything. I still love Seattle. Seattle's home for me. I'm in Seattle more than I'm in Sacramento. I just enjoy the vibe up there. I enjoy the weather. I enjoy the school, the atmosphere, everything about it.
Do you feel like Seattle should be an NBA team again?
Absolutely, for sure.
What's the culture of basketball up there?
They want it. I mean, the Huskies is their NBA team. They come mm-hmm. out faithfully, and they support whether they're good or bad. So
I read the year after you, it was Markelle Fultz taken number one, mm-hmm. Kelsey Plum taken number one in the WNBA. Like, mm-hmm. those are some talents up there.
For sure.
Did you... Markelle was a year. Help! Can you help me with the overlap there? Did you?
So my freshman year, we recruited him to come to school, mm-hmm. and it was going to be my sophomore year and his freshman year. So we were like a year apart.
Yeah. And did you know Kelsey Plum a little bit?
Yeah, I went to school with Kelsey, mm-hmm. but like we weren't super close, but we would talk mm-hmm. every now and then.
Yeah. Do you keep an eye on the WNBA?
Not as much as I should, but you know, I see the things that they post online, and I follow our women's basketball team and UW mm-hmm. right now, but not so much the WNBA.
Yeah. Let's go to your draft night. You were number 8th mm-hmm. overall. What do you recall about that, you think?
Everything. It's going to sound super ungrateful, but I was kind of upset when everything happened, just because, you know, I went into it with the expectation of something else happening, because I was told something else.
Okay.
But I was super thankful.
It's okay. There can be competing emotions.
Sure.
Do you know what
for
I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
But,
you
know, I think being a competitive kid and being somebody who wants to be better than most people and better than people I'm going against, I think that was something that I wanted to do, was try to go as high as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it was a long night because my pick was traded, so I ended up having to sit in the back and mm-hmm. damn near till the middle of the second round. So it was a long night, to say the least.
What was that like for your family?
My mom was happy. My mom cried. My sister cried when they said Sacramento, but I had to tell her I wasn't going to Sacramento.
Oh.
But it was super cool. It was kind of a flash of instance like thing.
Mm-hmm. Was the NBA always a dream for you? Like, the way you described basketball, it was mm-hmm. kind of like you're this fantastic athlete, maybe you sort of fall into it a little bit, mm-hmm. and then you have a successful college career, and then, okay, the NBA is a possibility. What did you think about that?
Ultimately, I wanted to be in the NFL. And then when I didn't play football anymore, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to play basketball kind of as a hobby and, you know, try to figure out how to go to school. And my mom told me straight up we wouldn't be able to afford school if I didn't play basketball. She told me this after the fact, though. But so basketball kind of was my means of getting an education and going to college. And then when it became a reality, when I was probably a junior in high school, I started thinking about, like, okay, I actually want to, you know, make this what I do and what is going to be my livelihood.
Mm-hmm. What were your first couple of years in Phoenix like?
What turbulent, were they like? To say the least, again. I mean, I went through a lot of change, a lot of culture shock. But, you know, I think being in Phoenix, it was a lot of fun. Obviously, we weren't the best team in the world, but, you know, I think the culture that we had in the locker room was different than people understood on the outside. I think we enjoyed being around each other. We enjoyed, you know, going to each and every game and practicing with each other. You know, I think we had a good team aspect. I just think we didn't understand how to win at the time. Mm-hmm. Being so young, you know, there was one point when during March Madness where we were younger than all but like three teams that were playing in the tournament. So it was rough.
That's really stark. Yeah, to go through that. And then, like, generally speaking, do people understand how difficult it is to be a rookie in the league with all of the things that you have to learn, with all of the ways that you need to get accustomed to a new workload, going from a college schedule to an 82-game schedule, and then being away from home and being this adult, being this man in a professional sport? What is that like for young guys?
I wouldn't even say it's just young guys. I don't think people understand the life of being an athlete, you know, not even just basketball, but football, baseball, hockey, soccer, the fact that people can call you and tell you, hey, you have to move your whole family, and you know, it'd be like somebody walking at your desk and just telling you, hey, you gotta move to Idaho, or you gotta move randomly. It's not something that you want, and it's not something that you would wish upon anybody, but, you know, it's just the nature of the beast that we live in.
How have you seen the Warriors rookies adjust to this new life?
I think they've adjusted really well. I think that they're mature for being so new to the NBA. Obviously, being able to develop throughout this year, I think, helps them a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that they've fallen into place nicely.
What is the behind-the-scenes NBA life like? Let's say on this road trip right now, like, people are like, oh, you're in New York City, man. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go? What are you doing? And you're like, well, I stayed in my room.
Yeah, it's not what everybody thinks. We party and go out and do all that. It's a business trip. I think we take this serious, and we go in to win every game. And me personally, I just sit in my room. I don't really do much. I play video games. I watch TV, watch Netflix, go to sleep.
Okay, today's a game day. Can you walk us through your schedule from the moment you wake up till the moment you get on the plane to go home?
So I will wake up probably like 15 minutes before the bus, brush my teeth, change, go straight downstairs, get on the bus. We go to shoot around. We have like film session, walk through some plays, do some drills and stuff like that. And then come back, eat breakfast, and I take a nap. I nap as long as possible. So. Mm-hmm. 3 hours, I'm napping for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
And then what, you leave for the game?
Leave for the game. Yeah. You want me to go through my whole routine?
Yeah, would
okay.
you?
That, So I get to the arena, I sit there for a little bit, just kind of decompress. I get changed, I get on the table and get like some stretching and some manual work in. And then I go to the court, watch some film, do my pregame shooting. It's just like 10, 12 minutes, and then come back, I get taped, I change into my game clothes, I go to chapel at 60 minutes, and then come back, do like a little quick activation stuff, and then by then it's the meeting. Yeah.
Why do you make sure to fit in chapel?
I just think God's given me this gift of basketball, and I think the least I can do is worship him and, you know, give him time in my day. And I just think that it's something that became built into my routine. You know, when I was in college, I would go to Bible study and things like that. And, you know, it felt like it affected my life in a positive way. And I think that that's something that I need to keep going.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that you warm up with headphones in. Mm-hmm. Do you have the same playlist?
Every time.
Yeah?
Every time.
Can you share?
It's a Rod Wave album. I don't even know what it's called. I think it's called PTSD. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's, I don't know why. It's just, it was something I played well one time listening to it, and yeah. I liked the songs that's on there. And it's one of the few albums I could play without skipping any songs. Mm-hmm. So I just listen to the album, and then when I get to shooting, I have to listen to one specific song.
Okay. Are you a creature of habit? Do you like routine in your life?
I do, but I don't like feeling like I'm in a rut. I think I like doing some of the same things, but I like shaking it up a little bit. Like, maybe I'll go home one day, or like maybe I'll walk and just, hey, I'm gonna get a coffee and just and then yeah. go to my room and do the same yeah. thing that I was gonna do anyways. I just mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, you laid out your whole routine for us on a game day. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, when you guys travel, and it's great to be around teams so much, but the idea of what people have about an NBA's player's life, NBA player's life versus what it is, mm-hmm. do you ever get lonely? Is that a weird question? But like, do you ever feel kind of like, yeah?
I wouldn't even say lonely. I think bored is probably the best thing to say. Because I mean, I used to have people living with me, but I have my friends. They went home. My friends are going back to school and things like yeah. that. So they're bettering themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think the best way to say it is bored. You know, you kind of run out of things to entertain yourself with when you're sitting in an apartment. And then, you know, we see each other all day, so we go home, and that's people's time to spend with their family, so you're not gonna bother people and try to go do a lot of things together. So I just keep to myself, and I'll go see a movie by myself. I'll go to the mall, go to the store.
Yeah.
Just do something.
Who's your best friend on the team?
Wow, my best friend on the team. Probably Raymond Ritter.
Who happens to be in the room, but yeah.
I mean, I hang out with everybody. Like I said, I feel like I'm a friendly person. I couldn't even exclude one person, but I talk to Amari, Eric, AB, Glenn, D'Lo. Those are probably people I talk to the most, like on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But I talk to everybody. I think as a team, we're pretty close. We're pretty collectively fun to be around.
Yes.
And we just enjoy each other's company.
Yeah. I skipped around so much in this interview. There's just a few things I need to button up. So you went from Phoenix, then you've also played for Houston and mm-hmm. Cleveland, mm-hmm. and you arrived with the Golden State Warriors. What do you think about your opportunity here?
I think this is the most fun I've had in the NBA. You know, obviously, we're not having the best season with wins-wise, but I think we're growing. I think we're understanding what we're capable of doing and capable of being in the future. You know, just playing for Coach Kerr, I think that it's an enjoyable thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And you're in a unique situation. You are a two-way player, and you're the team's starting center. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're doing what you need to do. What do you think about this situation?
I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. I don't get to practice. I just get to play. So I can't say it's too bad of a gig. But as far as chemistry-wise, it's kind of tough, you know, just because those mistakes that you can make in practice that don't really – you know, result in a team scoring on you, you know, I can't make those in a game. So it's a learning experience. Obviously, being in a situation right now where we're just trying to develop as much as possible and, you know, just keep getting better for the future, I think that luckily it's happening now and, you know, not 12 months from now.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's different. I don't think anybody's ever experienced something like this, and I don't think anything like this probably will happen again. But just making the most out of the opportunity I'm given.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things do you want for your NBA future?
Success. Just want to be remembered for something. You know, obviously, money comes and goes. You know, you can't take it with you. But I just want to have the most fun that I can while I'm here. Like I said, just live in the moment.
Mm-hmm. You've got a good head on your shoulders.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for
a
moment of your time. It's Marquise Chris. He is our dub of the day. Great to get to know you better.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.